Welcome back, Dr. Faber.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Great to have you here with the new year. And would like to start off today with U.S. equities. This has been quite a boom for several years, but the charts are beginning to look a bit extended.
Well, I mean, I've been warning of impending correction or a bear market for some time. I haven't recommended to sell short stocks, but I think as the market has gone up, largely because of money printing, that also boosts, obviously, profits, and because of the expansion of central banks' balance sheets, I think that the market has become very vulnerable. And I wrote the report in January that essentially suggested that economists were wrong if they were looking at housing starts and employment figures and industrial production, that the economy was today very dependent on inflated asset prices. And if these inflated asset prices would come down, that the economy would then contract. In other words, you would have a recession. And that the recession would then bring down corporate profits and the market would go down even further. So I think that we are in a very vulnerable position because in, say, 2007 or in 99-2000, we also had some kind of financial bubble in equities, but we didn't have a bubble in bonds. The European bond market is incredibly low in terms of interest rates. We have interest rates, the 10-year in the UK at 1.3%, in France at 0.83%, in Germany 0.55%, in Switzerland we have negative interest rates. Basically, there is vulnerability not only in equities, there's vulnerability in stocks. And as you know, selected real estate in prime locations around the world, US and also Asia and Europe, is in the sky. And we have in some cases commodity prices that are relatively high. Not all of them. Precious metals are certainly not high, but other industrial commodities have gone up substantially. So I think we can say that nowadays just about everything is inflated. And then we had the Bitcoin or cryptocurrency bubble. Whether it has come to an end, we don't know for sure. Maybe it's a correction and then we'll go up again.
Would like your thoughts now on the precious metal suck. We've been consolidating for quite some time with the U.S. greenback in difficult shape. Do you see better times ahead for precious metals investors?
I think, to be fair, we had a very difficult negative return between 2011 and December 2015 when gold traded just a touch above $1,000. But since December 2015, in other words, over the last 2 years, gold has done reasonably well, not fantastically well, but it's up nicely by about 20%. And some gold shares have done well, and most of them haven't performed well. But the physical gold has done okay. I think this year the stars are aligned for a major upward move in precious metals because my view is that the boom in cryptocurrencies is pretty much over. Too many people have lost a lot of money over. So I think that the view that they will always go up has been now challenged. And the cryptocurrencies, they took away the speculative element that normally went into gold. So if you went to people and said, look, you should buy some gold, and they all told you, we're in bitcoins and whatnot, and it has gone up 1,000% in 3 months or so. And I believe that once the bitcoin cryptomania comes to an end, that then precious metals will again perform better. Secondly, I think that investors will soon have to realize, or will realize, is actually a money printer, and that he will have to continue to purchase assets through the Federal Reserve, because the deficit will likely go up substantially. And that will then weaken the dollar, and if the dollar weakens, then the other central banks may not wish to have a strong currency, then they'll also expand the balance sheet, and in the end, you know, investors will ask themselves, well, where will this all lead to? And so I think that investors will gradually, believe me, I mean, institutions are grossly underweight gold assets. They have very little money in gold shares and in physical gold, or my favorite for this year is actually platinum. So I think that these precious metals, platinum, silver, gold, will perform well.
That's certainly aligned with our thinking as well. At least in the primary crypto, the Bitcoin, a sound money enthusiast like yourself can recognize the qualities that seem to parallel true money. And I wonder if perhaps you might think there still could be a place for Bitcoin to grow and the crypto sector to see this market cap, which approached $1 trillion, continue to steadily grow after the mania passes.
I fully agree with you. Maybe this market will become a $10 trillion market. But my view was, yes, it's all true that the supply of Bitcoin is limited and that therefore the price can go up. But what is not limited is the quantity of new cryptocurrencies that are being created. And China will have its cryptocurrency and Russia will have one and other countries will have the same and so forth. So it's like at the beginning of the internet boom in the late 1990s, you had Netscape and one or two leading companies like AOL. And then competition came in. Google only became public or a public company, I think, in 2004, 2006, as well as Facebook. And so you don't need to necessarily be the first one. You can see the bubble essentially developing and then collapsing. And then after the collapse, you can then look at who the likely winners will be. I'm not saying that Bitcoin will not be a kind of the gold standard of cryptocurrencies, but it's not sure. It's far from sure. It's like Xerox is no longer a big factor in the copying market.
I'd only point out that during this correction in the cryptos, the silver to Bitcoin's gold, Ethereum, soared several fold in a more, you might say, subdued fashion than Bitcoin and other currencies, which might imply a rotation in the cryptocurrency sector.
You know, there are lots of people, they spend their day, they follow this space very closely. Like in the stock market, some stocks move and others go to sleep and then they come back and move again. And so you have this movement because they're true experts. I'm not a true expert.
You probably have some concerns about the domestic economy here in the United States. Our policymakers have at least announced they expect 3 more rate hikes this year, but the Fed funds futures just don't seem to agree. Can you give us any implications or perhaps a forecast for 2018?
I think that sometimes in 2018, and I happen to think it may be relatively soon, because technically, the stock market is very overbought. Number two, the sentiment figures have hardly ever been more bullish about stocks. In other words, individuals, if you compare, say, the bottom in March 2009, to the present time, it's precisely the opposite. At the bottom, everybody was incredibly bearish. The S&P bottomed out at 666. But three leading economists were predicting S&P at 400. Now you have all the economists and strategists predicting higher stock prices, higher corporate profits. The public is wildly enthusiastic, and the business community is enthusiastic. And in my view, this is the way major peaks in stocks are being formed amidst great enthusiasm. And I would think that after this run, 666 on the S&P March 6, 2009, to now the present level, that this is a major bull market. We haven't had a 5% correction for a very long time. In fact, in a week's time, if we haven't got the 5% correction, it will be the longest stretch of bull market in the S&P ever in the history of the U.S. without a 5% correction. So by any measurement, we're very high, we're very stretched, we're overly optimistic about the future.
Is there any chance we could revisit just briefly the big picture view of the crypto space? Given your extensive background in economics and history, I wonder if you might be able to draw any parallels between the hyperinflationary episodes of the Weimar from, let's say, 1922 to 23, that period, very different geopolitical climate, the mark relative to an ounce of gold during that period. I can't help but wonder whether or not Bitcoin in particular might echo the hyperinflationary aspects. I mean, could global inhabitants be fleeing fiat money? And could this be the early stages of that global hyperinflation?
Sure. I mean, this is a thought that crossed my mind that, you know, the dollar is, in my opinion, is going to weaken against the euro and the yen as it has for the last 12 months. I think that will continue. But it's not going to collapse against these currencies because that would cause too much pain to these countries. And so if the dollar is very weak, the others are forced to also print money. Like the Swiss National Bank, basically they don't want to print money, but they don't want to have a Swiss franc that is overly strong. So the incoming liquidity, they reinvest in U.S. equities. So that could be the truth. That you say that people don't trust anymore paper money and they flee and they go into cryptos. That, I think, is part of the reason. But the main reason why cryptos have gone up is pure speculation. I tell you, I live here in Chiang Mai, in the north of Thailand, and very few people that I've ever met over the last 15 years have ever bought or owned any share. Very few people have ever owned or bought any bonds. Some people have bought gold shares and some people hold some gold, but not much. They also own some real estate. But cryptos is now really in the mind of everybody. I frequent the bar and people that have never ever invested any money, they're all trading cryptos. And the journalist contacted me from Estonia. He said the whole country is crypto crazy. This is an unbelievable thing. But I don't believe it, that the ordinary people, the public, really buys cryptos because they are worried about paper money becoming worthless. They buy it for speculative purposes. And in Germany, in Weimar hyperinflation period, in order to protect their wealth, what people did is they bought stocks and real estate, foreign currencies, and gold. You have all your money, and I give you a choice. You can put it all into cryptos or all into gold. I would choose gold.
Oh, it's certainly a relative value here. And we expect the nouveau riche, the Bitcoin millionaires and billionaires, to pour funds into a what you might call the physical Bitcoin, the yellow metal. Any further thoughts here for the investors in our audience, perhaps the market du jour for 2018?
Well, I mean, I think if you look at the way investors behaved over the last, say, 7-8 years since 2009, then when the market started to rally in 2009, people were bearish. They actually sold shares on the way up, or they were sold out on the way down through margin calls, so they didn't participate in stocks. And the public, by and large, has remained very cautious about equities for a very long time. But over the last 6 months or so, the public has come back into the share market, and as I mentioned, into cryptocurrencies in a major way. And that would indicate to me that we're not far away from a top. I always have a diversified portfolio of real estate, stocks, bonds, and precious metals. But I would say it may be not a bad idea to build up cash positions at the present time. Not go 100% into cash, but say don't be leveraged in assets, because all assets could come under pressure. A lot of assets have already come under pressure.
So are you anticipating then a rally in the U.S. dollar, perhaps? A deflationary environment?
Not really. I mean, I think the U.S., especially under the Trump administration, is not interested in a strong dollar. In fact, the U.S. has never been interested in a strong dollar. And if the choice is cushion a recession and a weak dollar, or a strong dollar and a deflationary recession, the U.S. will choose a weak dollar and a mild recession and some inflation and so forth. So I would say the dollar is oversold, but it's not oversold, as an example, against the yen. I think the yen could rally, as well as Japanese shares. And I think after a period of correction, the euro could go higher. I think 2018...
We've had a hypothesis that the introduction of the blockchain into the financial world will obviously revolutionize finance and even government for many decades to come. Do you believe that the blockchain concept might bring more transparency to those who have hypothetically attempted to corral and contain the precious metals in a fiat world? In other words, might blockchain force our officials and policymakers to be more forthright about their precious metals and monetary operations?
Well, I think that's a good point. But you understand, some people, maybe including you, I don't know, are of the view that governments have manipulated the price of gold and silver down. I'm not so sure about that. I think there is a natural tendency for mining companies to short the metal which they produce as a hedge. So you have automatically large short positions at all times in precious metals that are executed in the paper market. But I can see that occasionally the government may have intervened. The way I can see that there are days when the stock market was very weak, where suddenly someone came in and bought shares. You understand? Or the bond market is clearly manipulated. Otherwise, interest rates in Europe would not be this low. And in the U.S., interest rates would likely not be this low if there hadn't been monetization. But they are low because the Bank of Japan monetizes assets and the ECB, and some of that monetized, say, the ECB buys bonds from an insurance company. The insurance company gets the money. Then the insurance company's investment committee will decide what to do with the money. They can buy European bonds again, which they just sold, or they can buy stocks in local currency, or they can buy U.S. stocks. And because the U.S. market outperformed the other markets until 15 months ago, they bought U.S. stocks. Now, in the last 15 months, the European markets and the emerging markets have significantly, and I repeat, significantly outperformed the U.S. But this, the media doesn't want to tell you. They want to make the U.S. look very good. But say, measured in U.S. euros, the U.S. market hasn't performed particularly well. So if I measure everything in dollars, Vietnam last year was up 50%. Most of the Asian markets around 30%. India was up 35%. Most of the European markets, with the exception of the UK, were also up in the order of 25 to 30%. So it performed much better than the US. And I believe that we are in this environment where we have manipulation, but not as much as people think in the gold market and silver market.
Your earlier thoughts about a potential peak or zenith in U.S. shares brings up images of the past, 2001, 2008, 2009, and even 1929. The economic carnage and fallout can be intense, even in the supposedly wealthy United States, for the typical person. What do you foresee there for the everyday American and global inhabitant?
Today, I had a visitor. He came from Hong Kong to see me because he wants some advice. He's 35 years old. He has a very good job. He has an expatriate status in Hong Kong. He works for a German company. And he gets, you know, housing allowance, insurance coverage, a salary and everything. But he also says by the time he's paid everything, he hardly have any money. At 35, I had already quite a lot of savings. Plus, when I was 35, it was 1981. So interest rates, as you know, on treasuries were over 15%. I didn't have to be very smart. I could buy treasuries at 15%. And the compounding impact made me some money over time. Obviously, they, in real terms, they earn less than the boomers, and they have less money than the boomers had when they were 35 years old. And this credit bubble we created and the asset bubble has therefore a very negative impact on young people. I benefit from the asset bubble.
And how important were the benefits of diversification? You touched on this. I think this is just one of those overlooked topics. It doesn't sell newsletter copies. It doesn't make a great advertisement. Folks tend to turn off, I'm sure, the radio and the television. But it could be, and likely is, the most important element of investment success, diversification, and maybe even construct a hypothetical portfolio.
I mean, I always advocated, as I told you, real estate, equities, bonds, and precious metals. I'm not the person who says cryptocurrencies will always go up and will be the asset class, and therefore I put all my money in cryptocurrencies. I sell my real estate, I sell my bonds, I sell my stocks, I sell my precious metals. That I would not advise. You understand? But the millennials, who are all in this crypto space, they never owned anything else. They're all in cryptos with all their money. Believe so much that this will be the salvation, creating wealth. I rather believe if you're halfway intelligent, you sit there and you look at the world, you have all these people who have power, Trump, Xi Jinping, Putin, that don't see eye to eye. They have different agendas. And then you have the central bankers that have created this gigantic asset bubble. And precisely how it will end, you and I, and nobody knows. Someone may say, well, it will end this way and that way and so forth. The only thing I can say is it's unlikely to end well. Whatever happens, it's unlikely to end well. But precisely the sequence of how it will end, we don't know. And therefore, in absence of knowing, I would tell someone, if the goal is preservation of capital and to survive the coming Armageddon, then you want to be diversified in different asset classes, and you want to have a geographical diversification whereby you don't put all your assets in America, or you don't put them all in Australia, you don't put them all in China, but you diversify.
Would you advise that folks really prepare for multiple asset classes to implode? I mean, we see bubbles almost across the financial spectrum, from equities, not just in the U.S.
As an investor, you could hope that it doesn't happen, but you should be prepared in case it happens. You understand? That's why I told you at the beginning I would hold some cash, because that is the asset class that is the most neglected at the present time. Everybody owns real estate. Everybody goes into stocks. Everybody is into cryptocurrencies and so forth and so on. And nobody wants cash. And if you look at the cash positions of mutual funds and the cash positions in money market funds, they're all at historic lows. So I would say, why don't you own some cash? Because cash gives you the opportunity to cushion the downturn if it happens, but it also gives you the opportunity to enter markets when there are lifetime buying opportunities. If you're fully invested and markets really implode.
What about the 170 million Americans, over half the United States, reportedly have less than $500 to invest outside of credit card debt and our liquid funds? Is there a safety net? Is there an opportunity?
Well, that is the reason wealth inequality and income inequality has gone up so much, but particularly wealth inequality. These people, they have no cash and they have no assets. They have maybe savings of $5,000. So if they have savings of $5,000 and the stock market doubles, it doesn't help them. But it helps the billionaires because they own shares. It helps me. It helps maybe you. I don't know. But it doesn't help the guy who has no assets. And so the wealth inequality goes up and more people are unhappy, and then they go the next time they vote for a socialist. It's not going to end well. We don't know the sequence, hyperinflation and then depression, or depression and then hyperinflation. But the sequence we don't know. And we don't know which assets will go down the least and which assets will go down the most. As I told you, I think that precious metals are attractive this year.
Thank you, Dr. Mark Farber. The Gloom Boom Doom Report, links to your website and your report will be available for all of our listeners today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.